the satellite, body loving every size. Feel the vibe and energize. No shame, no fear, just joy. Every curve we deploy, hit play, let's make some noise. Oh, Chubbs go wild, living free, living style. Turn it up, turn it loud. Chubbs go wild. Big hearts, big love, big dreams. Breaking molds, tearing seams. Together.
Hey there, and welcome to another Chubbs Gone Wild. It is 630 episodes. We are at a milestone of 30 episodes past the 600 mark. We are
doing wow, look shows. At the, you thought of that all yourself. What a little journey
know.
You had.
All of a sudden my brain went, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, we are there. And it is Monday, February 23rd, 2026, where it is 68 degrees and... well, slightly cloudy outside in Chubland, where it is 41 days till Easter, 250 till Halloween, and 305 until Christmas. Oh my stars, it's just sneaking right up on us. Let's take a moment for our affirmations. Joy looks good on me, and so does everything else. Yeah?
I hate
true.
That.
Everything
What?
looks
Everything
good on
looks good
me.
on you?
Yes. Like an everything bagel, everything on a hamburger. Oh, we had some Mountain Mike's pizza the other night. That's actually my favorite pizza. Probably Mountain Mike's. Anyway, what?
Is it because it used to be right next to your house?
Oh, that was always nice. Although I still had him deliver because I was too lazy to walk over and get it.
It was across the street.
I know. That's just how lazy I was. I at the time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'd still make them deliver too, but in this case, it actually was across the street again. Only somebody else had it delivered there. So, but it was still lovely, lovely. Anyway, hey, let's talk about Patreon really quick, which offers folks a chance to. Chance a way to support creators and receive rewards not open to the general public, like My Life in Fragments podcast, books, videos, and more. And we want to thank our current amazing patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, and DJ Stossage from the Univaz, Eric, Sean, Charles, Phoenix, Dave, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, Moose P. Please visit patreon.com/Matt Burlingame to find out how you can join our little family for as little as $1 a month. All right, well, let's jump back in time, get in the DeLorean, and find out what happened on February 23rd throughout recent history, starting with, well, not
see,
so.
Now, right now, if you would have had, we're going to go back in time. See, that would have been perfect to piece right in there.
Huey Lewis. I love him.
Well, it's reference to the DeLorean more so than to... go ahead. Just go, go, go ahead.
Okay. Moving on. All right. 1861, President-elect Abraham Lincoln arrives secretly in Washington, D.C. amid assassination threats before the Civil War. In 1885, convicted murderer John Lee survives execution when the gallows repeatedly malfunction. In 1940, Woody Guthrie writes the iconic and, yes, folk song, This Land Is Your Land. In 1945, U.S. Marines raise the American flag on Iwo Jima during World War II. 1954, children receive the first polio vaccine in Pittsburgh. Wow. I just can't. Let's see, 1978, We have the Grammy Award for Song of the Year, which ends in the first tie in history. Do you remember which one it is?
What year?
1978.
See, I don't remember there being a tie. Wait, Song of the Year?
Yes.
I write the songs was one of them.
Okay. I don't have the list to the other one, but I figured you would know.
Well, I do know that that was a surprise win. But no, I don't. I'll look that up. Okay.
Okay. In 2014, Jason Collins becomes the first openly gay athlete to play in a major U.S. professional sports league. All right. We know how that turned out. Let's see. Some births. W.E.B. Du Bois from 1868, influential American scholar, civil rights activist, and co-founder of the NAACP. And then George Frideric Handel, 1685, the German-born composer of numerous famous Baroque works, including, I believe, Handel's Messiah, which is why they called it that. And also 1994, Dakota Fanning. But we also had some sad deaths on this day. And I guess we're going to add some more to it, but also Stan Laurel, the Stan from Laurel and Hardy. We had Edward Elgar, who is a composer. Oh, he composed Pomp and Circumstance, like the marches. And then John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States. So, all right. Let's jump into, oh, wait. We've got some holidays and stuff we need to look up and celebrate here. Starting with switch mode. Come on. Work with me here, people. There we go. Okay, so today is the Curling is Cool Day. Have you curled today?
Not the curling that you're talking about.
Okay. We also have the Diesel Engine Day. Lovely. I have not celebrated that. It's Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. Have you appreciated your dog biscuit?
Nope.
Okay. Banana bread? No?
Sean doesn't like bananas, so we
Oh,
don't do that around here.
he likes bananas. All right. And then we have National Rationalization Day. Yeah, that's pretty much every day for a lot of people in America right now. We also have National Tile Day. Nope. Play tennis? No tennis? No. Okay. And World Understanding and Peace Day. Not likely. All right. Well, throwing out just a couple other, multi-day events and such. It's also the celebration of Chocolate Month. I'm totally there, but not today. National Weddings Month. No, thank you. Time Management Month. No, thank you. Oh, Sweet Potato Month. Do you have any sweet potatoes this month?
I have not.
Well, there's still time. It's also Library Lovers Month. I love libraries, but I never read anything I check out. Oh, here we go. Here's your month. Spunky Old Broads Month. Perfect. We're going to end on that because Tom finally celebrated one. And probably I did too, but that's another story. All right, let's find out if there was any birthdays today. All right, happy birthdays to Ova, Daryl, I, Michael, and Patrick. Mr. Patrick, the amazing actor. Yes. We also have Bryce, upcoming birthdays. We have Bryce, Christian, Paul, Steve, Dylan, Shelley, Robert, Aaron, Marshall, Rachel, Ash, and Lisa. Happy birthday, y'all. Oh, we have a studio dog that decides that they're just not going to shut up today. Isn't that lovely? All right. With that, let's go ahead and jump into our chub hugs. What you got?
I'm still trying to figure out who the Grammy thing is here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am going to go ahead and give a big chub hug out to Mr. Michael Sage and his foster dog, who apparently does not yet have a name. Yes, so Mr. Michael Sage, he has a new foster dog. Unfortunately, it does not quite yet have a name, but I'm hoping that it will be a foster fail because this little girl is so adorable. And so I think that they need to just be together for life. Anyway, what you got?
Okay, so this it was 1978. 77 was I write the songs. 78, the winners were "Evergreen," written by Barbra Streisand and Paul Williams, and "You Light Up My Life," written by Joe Brooks.
Wow.
Interesting, both from movies too.
Yeah. Okay. How about chub hugs?
Oh. Chub hugs. Let me see
Yeah.
what I have written down.
Sure.
Chub hugs. Okay, I never write anything down for chub hugs. How about all those people on the East Coast that are digging out of 2 feet of snow overnight? They canceled. It was interesting on because the snow was just coming down during the lightly during the day yesterday. So all of the Sunday matinees on Broadway proceeded, but the evening performances were all canceled. So interestingly enough, that meant that the original cast of, oh God, what's it called? It's the British cast, I'm gone blank on the name of the show. Anyway, the cast that came over from Britain last night was supposed to be their final show. So that kind of sucked because they had, big plans. And then Hell's Kitchen closed last night on Broadway. So I'm not sure if they got their last one out or not. And then Broadway's canceled today because everything is under snow. But for the most part, nobody has shows on Mondays anyway. So not a big deal. Well, not as big of a deal.
Well, those are some good chub hugs. At least we had some happy ones this time. All right. And now, big bag. Sean says, I remember Atari 2600. It's possible the game Matt's thinking of was called Adventure, as it did include castles and dragons. It was somewhat groundbreaking video game for its time, and that sounds very familiar, so it very much could have been that one. So thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. And as always, appreciate you watching us on YouTube. Hello.
Hello.
All right, and now we have some really big celebrity deaths this time.
Jesse Jackson, civil rights activist and presidential candidate. He died at 84, and Trump treated it like it was nothing. Actor Eric Dane, who played Mark Sloan on Grey's Anatomy, also known for appearing in Charmed, Euphoria. He died Thursday at 53 of ALS. Have you met anyone that has died or known anyone with ALS?
Yes,
Horrible.
absolutely horrible.
Oh, it's just,
And he
yeah.
was only diagnosed under a year ago. Now, it doesn't mean that he couldn't have had symptoms before that and not gotten
Right,
treatment,
right.
but
But it's usually
healing very
pretty,
quickly.
it's usually pretty quick once they know what it is, it's when it's obvious what it is, so.
And from everything that I know about him, he was a really good guy. All right. And
Okay.
now let's go ahead and perk ourselves up with some of Tom's week.
Let's see. Da, da, da. RuPaul this week, they had a snatch game on Love Island. And so they all had to go to the island, and they had three hot guys that were interviewing them. So they had to dress up as a celebrity, and then Ru asked questions, the guys asked questions. The whole idea is to be funny. Okay. Well, one person came as Bloody Mary.
Really?
Now it would have been funny if they that I mean that's all they came as was Bloody Mary. They didn't come with any arsenal, nothing. They didn't even really know the whole other th with the exception of you say the name three times in the mirror and then Bloody Mary appears. That's all they really knew about Bloody Mary. So it's hard to give Bloody Mary a background when you don't know anything. And which would have been fine. They could have, Bloody Mary could have been real Karen, just there's you especially when you have a character that really doesn't have much of a well, you don't know much about her past, you can make shit up. She just sat there and was it was like when you're watching on Saturday Night Live, the character that always has something horror. Well, feline AIDS is killing cats all around the world. Wah, wah. Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
The Debbie Downer character. You could have did the Debbie Downer wah wah after every single thing she said, because it all went off like a lead balloon. It was so terrible. And she had a really good she looked great on the runway, but she couldn't save herself after that whole thing. It was, I mean, it was really uncomfortable to watch. So I think it was Mia Starr, I think was her name. Yeah, Mia Starr, which is a cute name, but she's on her way to doing sets at the Faces, I'm sure, at this point. So let's see, we finished Evil and Big Mouth, which was the same pretty much. Well, we finished Big Mouth, I think it was Friday night. Saturday we finished Evil, so it was I thought they were going to finish the same day, but they didn't, which is nice because it had been too much for me. And then we started Tuesday, Saturday night we started back with Cougar Town. We have yeah we have been watching Cougar Town for like 4 or 5 months, so it was time to get back, and we needed something to watch. Let's see, Traitors season 4, the finale is next week, and we have two traitors still in the game, so that'll be fun. I mean, last year it was not fun at all. The finale was just the who cares. This year, well, I don't really care as much, but honestly, this has been a strange, there's two. This has been a strange
Get the
No, it's a mixed bag of edibles. So this is grape, which is bad enough, but it was laying next to it, what I'm afraid was mango. It's gross. Okay. Anyway, so the problem I've been having with Traders is I'm just kind of, it's not as much fun as it has been in the past, which may be that it's running out of its steam. I mean, the fun part is Alan. Alan's fun, but the and like Tara and was and Johnny, the ice skaters, they're on the show. They're still on. They're not coming to the reunion because they're so freaked out by how the negative response has been from the and blah blah blah. Then you got Ron, who he's all upset because everyone he it wasn't fun. Everyone forgets these are fucking games.
Right.
This is supposed to be fun, even if it's even if you get kind of paranoid and weird, it's still supposed to be fun. And when it's not fun anymore, it's not fun for us either. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So, but that's Traitors. Let's see. Beast Game, we'll talk about. Bridgerton, we finished the first half of the new season. I guess
Awesome.
we got new ones coming this week. Have you watched the new Muppet show yet?
No, I haven't.
It was actually really, really good. Sabrina Carpenter, and she did her song Man Child, and it was hilarious. She did it with a bunch of chickens, hens, and it was funny. At one point, they had to go and cut Seth Rogen from the. They go, "Oh, by the way, you've been cut." He goes, "How am I cut? I'm the executive producer." So, and but I like the fact that Seth Rogen, he's really coming into his own, because everyone just treated him like a piece of shit, stoner piece of shit for
Right.
years and years, never gave him any credit. I mean, he wrote Superbad. That was a huge hit.
Yeah.
He's been doing good things. I mean, funny things. He's a comic, and now he's got the show on Apple TV that just won all the Emmys, and now and he's executive producer of the Muppets. How could you not love Seth Rogen now?
Yeah.
So anyway, it was really quite funny. It's the exact same old Muppet show premise. With the backstage stuff and Miss Piggy having a fit and everything,
Yeah.
but it was light and funny, and I laughed a lot, so I'm
Good.
good.
Where is it?
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Let's see, the Burbs, which is now on Peacock. It's based on the old Dan Aykroyd John Belushi movie, and it is not good. It wants to
I
be
was
good.
concerned about that,
It
yeah.
wants to be good, but I'm not. They just threw a new twist in, and I'm hoping that makes it better. Because now it just seems like, because you have the old house that gets bought, and everyone thinks there's a killer living there, and it's like you people all seem like terrible, terrible fucking neighbors is what you feel like. They don't, instead of me rooting for against the killer and the house, I'm rooting against the fucking neighbors who can't keep their fucking nose up. They go into the house a couple times, without asking. They're it's just they're losing me. That's all I have to say. Okay. American Idol moves to Hollywood Week this week. For those of you that are still watching it, but I always like the when
Yeah.
they're looking for the new people and the auditions. And the reason I like it, because I used to hate the auditions, I used to hate it because they kept bringing in bad people.
Yeah,
And if you're
that's
looking for talent, you don't do that by showing us bad people.
yeah. I get it.
Yeah, we don't have to have awful to so we can go, "Oh, but this is good." We don't have to have that comparison.
Right.
I
And
think
the
we're all.
national embarrassing people on national TV. I mean, there's the ones that are going to show up just to goof off, but then there's the ones that really think they do have talent when they don't.
Oh yeah.
And to me, that just putting them through that just is sad.
Yeah. Let's see, the Beauty over on Hulu,
Yeah.
the new Ryan Murphy. Well, first of all, there's a lot of nudity, so you'll like that part,
Okay.
and a lot of boy nudity.
Oh.
We don't see wieners, but we see a lot of ass, a lot of ass,
Me, I don't
and
mind.
But the problem with the show for me is that every time they go, oh, I've got this new shot that can make you beautiful, everyone looks like us at the before.
Oh,
And then
lovely.
when they pop out, they all look like they came from the cast of Heated Rivalry. Everyone's gorgeous, muscular, thin, hairless, just they look like they could, be models. And it's like, oh God, I hate watching a show where I'm the before.
You know what? We return to our affirmation. Joy looks good on me, and so does everything else.
Don't hurt yourself.
Okay.
And thank you.
I don't mind a little hurt. Right.
Okay. Sorry, I had to thank you because I plugged the toilet up this morning.
Oh, here.
Yeah, I knew you'd want to hear about it. Okay. This is something I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's something that I just noticed. Okay. I was looking at the Oscar nominations. I'm looking at what movies are playing here and there, what the new ones are coming on streaming. And honestly, something's changed in like the last couple years. And it's like all of the actors, I don't know who anybody is anymore. I mean, it's like what it reminds me of is back in the 70s when you brought in, when you had Lucas and you had Spielberg and you had, but even more so than those guys were some of the ones that brought in, the Michael Cimino who did the whatchamacallit, one Best Picture, I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, when the Russian roulette game, but he brought in like Meryl Streep and he brought in all these young actors. We had the Al Pacino just showed up out of nowhere, Dustin Hoffman, all these actors that hadn't been anybody, but also were getting major movie roles in the 70s. And then and it's like all of the Charlton Hestons and the older actors who have been like stay, these were the ones who were you dependable. Everybody knew that Robert Redford and Paul Newman and Steve McQueen, they were the actors, right? Even the Marlon Brandos. And then all of a sudden we have all these new people, and that's how it feels right now. I don't know who I was looking at Best Actor, and I think I only could tell you right offhand who two of the actors were, and one of them's Leonardo DiCaprio. So it's just to me, it's like, where did all these people come from? Where are they? And what has gone on that with me that I've completely lost touch with Hollywood? Even though I spent 10 years in Hollywood, also dealing with I was always dealing with rentals and movies. I was in I ran in movie theaters before I went to Los Angeles. Then I was in the acting. Then I was doing a VPD was distributor of home video. After that, and then I spent 20 years as a film critic, and I don't know who anybody is anymore. How do I get that untouched that quickly? Or did they just switch it on me?
I think it's a little bit of both. Okay, so the best actors nominees for the Oscars for this year,
Right.
Michael B. Jordan. We know who he
Okay.
is, right? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, Timothy Chalamet.
Okay, so I do know who the actors are.
Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan
Right.
Hawke. Now Wagner Moura. I don't know
What,
who
who,
he
what?
is. Wagner Moura from The Secret Agent. I have no idea who that is.
I thought, okay.
Okay, now here's the rub for me though, and this has always been my problem. The actresses in leading roles for 2026, Jessie Buckley, Rose Byrne, Kate Hudson, Renee Renette Rensvif, I don't know, and Emma Stone. All right. If you put all those people up against, I may possibly be able to pick out Kate Hudson or Emma Stone.
Right.
The rest of them, I have no clue. And even those two, if I saw a picture without any reference, I
Yeah,
couldn't tell you who
Kate
they are.
Hudson's very, if she's not Kate, being Kate Hudson, you wouldn't recognize her on the street.
Yeah, to me, for the past 10, 15 years, I at least all these actresses, they're all blonde and thin and they're like out of the same mold. I have no idea who they are. It took me forever to finally figure out like who's our little darling, the one that our little darling, that sounds really wrong. Who is the one who was in Pitch Perfect, the lead?
Anna Kendrick.
Okay. I adore her. I love her. It took me probably 5 years to really figure out who she was and spot her on sight. Yeah. And oh, the who's the Devil Wears Prada, the main star in that?
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Still, if you put her in the, if you just threw her out there with, and I probably couldn't tell you who she was. So for me, it's actresses. No clue with half of these people. I have to look them up. The actors I do a little better with.
Yeah, and I mean, I was looking I was looking through the just what movies are playing, and it's like, you know, they're making 20, $30 million movies with actors I've never heard of, and it's kind of shocking to me. I don't know, maybe this is the my slow decline. I don't know.
Well, I think it's probably that we're entering that now because we have like a 10 to 15 year gap where all of a sudden like everybody's just new because they have to go with all the younger people who can't look younger anymore.
Well, what it comes down to is that Hollywood still thinks that people want to watch TV, movies with young people.
Yeah, and sorry, that's not so much anymore. I mean, sure, there's some,
Well,
but
but if you look on television, it's just the opposite.
yeah, I want to see I want to see something good. I don't need to see anyway.
Right. It's
You know what I mean?
well, and it's like they don't think that, you know, maybe they don't think George Clooney and Brad Pitt and you know, maybe they're not the it thing anymore.
Well, and they probably also cost quite a bit more, and they want to have some control over the projects that they do. And that for some studios, they just don't want that. They want
I
someone
know, but
in
can
control.
Jim Nobody open a $30 million movie?
Right. Yeah.
That's and let's face it, I guess it all really comes down to the fact that if the social media from the studios was better,
Yes.
I would know this because I'm not on network television, so the only thing I'm not getting is really commercials.
Yeah.
So, and if you're not, if these people are not putting commercials on social media, whether it be Facebook or X or Bluebird,
Blue sky.
Blue Sky, Threads, they're not utilizing this well. There's a problem. Broadway, I watch I watch a woman who. She's a social media person on Broadway. She does the social media for Maybe Happy Ending, and when she came on, all of a sudden Maybe Happy Ending went from it might not make it to it's a major hit because social media. It was really social media, and it's like I'm watching Emma Pittman, who is the she plays Cherry Valance on The Outsiders. She started the role. I saw her. And the thing is, she's got a YouTube channel where she talks about Broadway and stuff like that. But what she's doing is right now she's got 11, 12 thousand followers. And you're thinking, well, that's not a big deal. Well, if you go into a Broadway show and say, I've got 11,000 followers, and you go into Broadway show and you go, I'm not on the internet. It's going to make a difference. People are going to go, well, at least we know she's got people that are going to come see the show. And yeah, I guess what's happening is the industry is not utilizing social media the way they should.
Well, and I think also there's the problem that we run into with algorithms too about what is being shown to us for them thinking that our demographic or whatever is going to watch too.
I
And
know.
that doesn't help. Anyway, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So, all right. Well, for my week, I was very busy this week. I had a lovely dinner with our neighbors, just chilling and
Oh, is that who the dinner was with? Okay, because you said a name, and I'm like, am I supposed to know who this person is?
Oh yes, it was with our wonderful neighbors, and they invited us over for game night, but the chatter and the dinner was so good that we never actually got to a game. So that was fine too, because they wanted to play Monopoly, and I'm like, board game Monopoly, I'm not too fond of. And then I was supposed to, I just it's been on the go with maintenance work around here with them trying to get the things done. And then we had to have our what you call it, under the sink thing, our
Our
garbage
disposal.
disposal. Yes, so we had to have that replaced, and that was great. The guy did a really good job. And then what else? It's just been on the go. I had lunch with our dear friend Jason. That was very nice. We went to the local Mexican restaurant up here up the street, up the like a block or two away from us. And I haven't been there since we moved in, well, since before we moved in here. And I took one look at the menu, and all of a sudden he chimed in and said, "Oh, I'm buying." And I was like, I didn't even do the, "Oh, you don't have to do that, or we could split it." I was just like, "Thank you. I really appreciate that." Because those prices, I was like, oh, hell no, this was not the right place for me to go.
What place was it?
It's the little El Novato or whatever it is.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
yeah. And it's really weird because you walk in there and it's like a maze to get to the seating, and then it's very authentic, and it's both. I loved it and I hated it at the same time. I don't know how to explain it. Food was big food, bigly food, big
Yeah.
plates, very hot big plates. Like, don't touch the plate, you're gonna get burned.
What'd you get?
I got two chicken enchiladas, and that of course comes with a flood of refried beans and rice and things like that. So, and it was very, very tasty, but it comes back on you later. And everything is done with lard. And you know how some people are like, "Do you make it with lard?" This menu had like written over everything in big letters, "We use lard." So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that's what makes those refried beans so fucking good.
They were good. They were some of the best refried beans I've had
Ever. Yeah, what always happens with me is we kind of want the nachos are really good, and but the my favorite is the enchiladas as well, because they used to come out to my work and cater. And they would always do it was like a cheese enchilada, and it was so good. I'm not much of a, I usually like more of a protein than cheese, but it was so good. And so I want to get that, and I want to get the nachos. And by the time we're done with the nachos, they bring the food, and it's like, can I take this to go?
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty close to that, but I did
But
not bring home
when those
many
refried beans
cans.
come, I
Yeah.
take the chips and just scoop up the refried beans like it's bean dip, you know. And
That would have been a
it's
good idea. It was better than the
God, it's
sauces
so
that they
good.
served.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh gosh, I can't remember what
Now,
else.
did you make love after?
Please. He's such a good friend though. We went to, I'd had my doctor's appointment and very nice. Everything's pretty good for the most part. So, yeah. Very busy week, and it just extended through yesterday. Lawrence comes over now on Sundays, and we have brunch, he and my mom and I. And now that we're kind of making it a regular thing, we're gonna kind of, just have an open invite for friends if they want to stop by and have a, yeah. So it's pretty fun. All right. As far as what I've been watching, though, I put off watching Beast Games. I'm one episode behind, but I'm not going to watch it until the next episode drops, which is in like 2 days or something like that. So I
Yeah.
can just finish it out because the last couple episodes, I mean, there's been some really great moments and some time where I'm just like, oh my God, would you just get on with it already?
Well,
So.
I'll tell you, with this season, more so than last season, because last season was all very raw and it was, we didn't know what to expect. This season, I just, what I'm seeing is how awful human beings can be with just a little bit of just a little bit of edging, like going, it's $1 million, you can take it all if you want. Just, say I want it all, and then the rest of them get nothing. That's fine. You should be thinking about you. And within no time, the guy who swore he was going to be the best person takes a quarter of the money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes it very interesting and yet at the same time disappointing. But I don't know. With that choice, sometimes I can't say that he's like a horrible person for doing that, but at the same time,
No, but I'm not saying he's a
we're
horrible
watching it again.
person.
We're watching it from the watching them.
Right. What I'm saying is that a lot of them are really, they're all, we had two people that took half the money because they got offered half the money. They got the take all you want. And people are all like, oh, I'm a good person. And like the one guy earlier that took, remember, he took $1 million and screwed his whole team.
Yes, I do
And
remember that, and they end up going home
which is
without
fine because he's got a
any
million
help.
dollars. He can go home. And it's just,
Interesting.
I just think that the whole thing is really, I it's really showing a lot of ugliness in the human condition. And that surprises me because I didn't, I got a little of that last time, but it seems like they've had time to grow into
Well,
their ugliness.
and here's the thing too. Look at the state of where we are with America. We'll go because this is an American show. We'll say America.
Sure.
With we don't have solid health care. Everything is price wise and everything else is jacked like crazy. We can't afford homes most of the time. I mean, with everything, if this were, where we had more of a level playing field, like we had health and, we had universal health insurance. We could have one person that worked and we could afford our family home and, everything that they had like in the 50s. Would they be as have to think as cutthroat as they are? Would
I
they
don't
still do that?
I don't th I think we're giving you're giving them too
I'm
much
no, I'm just
credit.
asking a socialized
Pardon?
question. I'm just asking a question. I can't say
Oh,
what
no, I get
they're.
it. I don't know if that's it. Because let's face it, most of, if you're well off, you're probably not going to go on the show. Most people go on
Right.
game shows because they want to win money.
Yeah.
So are prizes. And so I think that you immediately take down, you drop down the, I'm not saying the quality, but you drop down your class, I guess. Is might be, you've got your rich people who aren't going to go on the show because they don't need the bad publicity, unless they're celebrities and then they don't care. Any publicity is good.
Right.
But if you're just average Joe who makes $250,000 a year, you're not going to go on the show.
That's average Joe. Okay.
And but if you're, I make $12,000 a year. I'm going to go on the show and I'm going to win me some money.
That would be a reason to do it. That's
Right.
why
And
they had Running Man.
yeah, I can see that they're being, because we've heard a lot of the stories. I've got four kids. I can really use the money. I don't know what I'm going to do with, I don't make that much. I don't have a good education. I've got somebody who's sick. There's always a story. But I just think it's been interesting to see how, when I guess it was the $1 million thing that really threw me this time, because I mean last time we had the guy that took 650,000
And they still liked him.
and we kind of understood what he was doing, but it was like this time because they all went in there going, everyone takes 100 grand and we all win. Yes. Okay, maybe not. And there were a few of them it was more than a few. And the people who didn't, the last five, we didn't even get to see because there wasn't even 200,000 left at when we started the last four or five people. So it's like we can't even see what they might have done. If
Except
they
for the
weren't
one
on,
chick,
they were the
she
bottom of the picking,
with the gold coin, she swapped that out for the 500,000. I thought that was actually pretty smart because who knows whether that coin would even have,
come into play. Yeah. You know what? I'm sorry, but yeah, take the money. I mean, I would have taken the 50, the 500,000, and I said, can I just quit? I don't want to play anymore. I'm taking my money and get out of here. But I'll tell you, her boyfriend is
Douchebag.
so pretty.
He really is.
I mean, he's got his eyes are gorgeous. He's got lips for days. But he's a schmuck.
He
And
is like
that's just, it's the colors that are coming out about these people. They're really starting to show their true colors. And I guess that's, I don't know why I'm surprised by it, but I kind of am. Okay, go ahead. You're still
Okay.
your week.
All right. Well, also I am waiting to start Bridgerton until the 26th when the second half drops, so I can probably just binge right through that because I'm really looking forward to it. I saw a couple previews and it got me even more excited about watching it because
It's really
I
good
do like it.
this season. It's really good.
Cool.
I'm liking the love story. I didn't think I was going to, but I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. I am looking forward to that. Let's see. Baking Championship, Next Gen. The little sisters went home. They had the competition was that the older siblings and the younger siblings could not help each well, they couldn't. The older siblings could like verbally tell the younger siblings what to do, but they had to make separate projects, and the younger siblings, some of them did okay and some of them did not. And so the perky sister team went home, and that was sad, but at the same time, it's a show, It's not like I'm super invested in a kids' baking championship, but anyway, three more episodes, I think, on that. And it's a weekly, so I forget to watch it until it just pops up all of a sudden in my feed. All right, but the one I look forward to every week is Star Trek Academy, which is on Paramount Plus. We now have a gay Klingon. Woohoo! It is such a good show. And this episode was more, episode 7 was more of a character development show. So it wasn't necessarily as exciting as like the episode before, where it was just nonstop action. But it still was good to kind of get to know more about some of these characters and actually like characters you weren't kind of you were kind of like on the fence about, and now like their stories make more sense and you're like, okay, interesting. And God, some of the actors on there are just gorgeous, and they put them in those little those uniforms that hug in all the right places is just crazy. Anyway, still amazing cast, fun show, definitely. And you don't have to be like, if you know like even the rudimentary stuff about Star Trek, you don't have to know like all the lore and everything else and watch all the series to enjoy just this one. So, all right, Doctor Who, I am in the middle of the Jodie Whittaker years, and I am coming across episodes I do not remember. I don't remember ever watching them, and some of them are really, really good. And I just think that after this season, they may have switched writers because I don't remember her last season gripping me as much. So right now, I'm really enjoying the Doctor Who's. You can get this entire bundle, which is like three seasons and a bunch of the Christmas episodes and specials, for like $19.99 on Fandango right now. All right, so I watched Nobody 2. I really enjoyed the first Nobody movie, and that's with Bob Odenkirk, and he is a hired, what is he? Is he a hired killer or a mercenary or something like that? Anyway, but he's now with his family, and they just like travel, and they went to a small town to relive some memories, and turns out, well, they uncovered the big bad, and then he has to go and blow up the whole town and everything, and it's fun. It's super fun. And Bob Odenkirk is it's a great show, but it's all blow up stuff. So if you like those shows, go watch it. Totally fun. So is the first Nobody. And then I watched this lovely movie called Fight or Flight. It was 2025. It's basically a mercenary who takes on a job of tracking down a high value asset known only as the Ghost. And he's put on an international flight to do this, and then finds out that the information was released to like all the assassins and stuff all over the world, and they all end up kind of on the same flight. So remember the movie with the bullet train?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of like the same thing, only on an airplane. And it is actually really fun. It's got Josh Hartnett in it, Katie Sackhoff, who was the Battlestar Galactica reboot. She played Starbuck. It's fun, but there's a little bit of gore and a lot of shoot 'em up, and yeah. So if you like those type of movies, you're gonna love this one. And Josh Hartnett did a really good job, and actually made me now know who the hell Josh Hartnett was, because yeah, I knew the name. And finally, I've just finished Night Agent season 3. Came out, and I watched it all in 2 days. It is really good. This season is better than the last two. And season 2 was good, but
No,
got
it wasn't.
really.
Season two was rambling. It was terrible.
That's what I was going to say. It was good, but it got murky. And
It
to the
did.
point where you're like, okay, you need to either actually have a plot, or you need to go down to about 6 episodes because 10 wasn't working. This one, There was maybe one episode worth of kind of like, where are you going? Figure it out. The rest of it was really good. I totally, yeah. I'll look forward to season four because if it's this good, then I'm all on. I'm all
Honestly, I cannot believe how fast they're whipping them out.
on. Oh, did you know that they've already finished shooting the series? They're just wrapping up the series of Starfleet Academy, and it's going to be out in 2027. Now, see, that's what I want. Give me at least a series a year of the really good shows. And they were like, because it's streaming, they were holding it back for like 2 years sometimes, if not more. And now they're whipping them out there again. And that's what I want. And
Well,
stop
you
making
know,
me watch it every week. Just
well,
drop
people,
it.
p well, that I don't mind. What I do mind is that they, and this was, I think, like I was saying, it's HBO started this because what happened was HBO said, oh, we can't get six episodes of Sopranos out a year. It's just too hard. So, you know, we'll have them done in a couple years. And then that all of a sudden was acceptable after years and years of training us that a season runs September through May approximately. And you know, I love it. You can Elsbeth can get 22 episodes out a year, hour long episodes, but you know, you can't get me six episodes, eight episodes of The Sopranos a year. That was bullshit. I don't know who thought HBO thought that was okay, but it didn't matter because every time they brought out a series and did that, I mean, look at Game of Thrones, they did that. They did it with a lot of their big series, and it never was a problem for anybody but you and I. You know, it's like, I don't want to wait 2 years for a fucking episode. Yeah.
I'd get, really irritated with that. So, but because, and to me, it loses my interest. I lose track of it. Like,
So lose your interest. And think about in the day when what would happen was the VHS or the DVD would come out before the next season would come out, which was good because you could rewatch it at that point, because you know, you either didn't have it recorded on your DVR, or it's not like it is now where everything is streaming wise, it's all available, so it kind of sucked. But yeah, I want them to get back to, if you're going to play this game, I don't care if you've got six episodes or 38 episodes, I want you to get that many out. If you promise me that, you get them out every year. End of story.
Same. Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move into what would you do? A friend cancels plans at the last minute for a better offer. Do you express your disappointment, stop prioritizing them, or pretend it doesn't bother you?
It would depend on what the offer was. Like if it was, hey, you want to come over and hang? Sure. Hey, guess I just got an offer to, you know, I got tickets to go see this. I'm gonna cancel. Sorry, but I'm gonna go. You know, then it's like fine. But it's another thing if they say, oh yeah, let's hang out, and then it's like, oh, somebody else called me, and I'm gonna go to their place instead. That's that kind of pissed me off. I mean, it just depends.
I don't know if I would really say anything or not. I would probably do some passive aggressive joking thing like next time we were together about it. But like you said, though, with the with you know, I've had plenty of times where somebody is supposed to hang out, and then they suddenly got invited to, I don't know, go to Mexico or something. I'm like, okay,
Well,
yeah, okay, I
that's a,
understand.
yeah, but it's if you're like you're perfectly fine and now I'm getting upset about this. Yeah, 'cause I don't want to be like, oh, I got nothing else to do. I'll come over to your house. Oh, I found something better to do. And
Yeah,
that's
that would be
if it
annoying.
sounds like they're
Yeah.
just doing they found something they didn't really want to do it with you, obviously. They got something better. It's like, okay, fuck you.
I'm sorry, Jan, but something suddenly came up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Love it or hate it, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Are you talking the song or the movie?
I believe so. I haven't seen the movie myself.
Okay, the movie sucked. Now the song's fine. Actually, how the song got it to where it was is a great story. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't like singing Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, it is very, it's one of those cross-generation cultural things, and
Well, I think a
I
lot
like
of
it.
that cross generation had to do with Wayne's World.
Yes, yeah.
But however, it's like it's weird. Okay, Baker Street, with the da-da-da-da-da-da,
Okay.
that saxophone thing. I mean, yeah, I kind of want these people. I want these old songs, because they go, I don't want to hear Imagine on an ad for Apple. And it's like, yeah, but you know what? Yoko's getting some cash.
Right, and new generations are being
Are
exposed
being
to
introduced to
being new,
songs that they
yeah.
didn't know. But Baker Street, when the guy died who wrote Baker Street, he was making like $75,000 a year from the song being utilized in commercials or wherever it was.
Wow.
He was getting paid money, and so I kind of like the fact that, I mean, why would we sit there and go, no, we cannot, you cannot do a sequel to this movie because it was perfect, even though, anybody under the age of 40 has never heard or seen the movie,
Right.
but you could get that story out again. And maybe it's like with the Harry Potters. We sit there and we go, how dare they bring out a Harry Potter series just
Yeah.
doing the books? We got the movies. And it's like the
I
movies came out 25 years ago.
know, which is just bizarre to
Yeah, the
me.
first movie was 26 years ago. The second
Wow.
movie was 25 years ago.
Crazy.
And it's, the kids are in their 40s now. Come on, it's time to move on. So, but yeah, it's and like I've always said, and if it's shit, no one's going to remember it was bad. It's
Yeah,
like the
like the
Beyond the
second.
Poseidon Adventure. When they did the Poseidon Adventure, then they tried to remake it and it sucked.
Well, like when they tried to remake V and they messed it up so badly, like most of us like just barely remember it because, who
Yeah, and
cares?
by the
But
way, it was
then.
Operation Mincemeat, the British cast just finished yesterday. That's okay.
Okay.
Just throwing that out.
And then for me, and then you look at Battlestar Galactica, they brought out a reboot of Battlestar Galactica and it was amazing.
Right. So
So.
you just, and, but, people don't even remember the new V. And
Right.
it's funny, the only thing they remember is the actress who wasn't in. The new actress, they remember her being in the old one, and it wasn't her. That's the only
Right.
thing. That's
But
the only
well,
thing I think is funny about it. I
and
mean,
it's funny because in this one, Jane Badler, who was in the original that played Diana, was this new Anna's mother, played her mother in the new series.
right.
Yeah, I loved that. But it also didn't make any sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, next up. Hey Chubbs, Tom wants to know, how do you feel about famous gay men being shamed for dating women before they came out? I don't have
I
any
don't know if
problem.
you've seen the what you know what they kind of put these little things out going, these gay men dated women. And it's like, okay, you know
Yeah.
what? You take away all the bullshit about being gay over the last 100 years, and then you can shame them for dating women.
Right, exactly. I mean,
But what
yeah.
else are you going to do? I mean, if Rock Hudson wasn't dating a woman, then those rumors must be true.
Exactly.
So I'm sick of I'm just sick of this mentality of oh well that's an awful thing. They knew they were gay. Why would they do that? It's called self-preservation,
Yeah,
okay?
especially in a time when you
Well,
have to do
and
that.
the and a business that will murder you
Yes.
for not being the ideal thing, whatever that ideal thing is.
Yeah. So
So,
I don't think that I'd give them no shame.
yeah,
Yeah.
well,
And you
no,
know what? You don't know that the women weren't lesbians and going along with it for a reason.
well, yeah, because that's true. They make it sound like they deceived these women. And it's
Yeah.
like it
The
was
women
dating. It was
knew.
dating. I mean, Manilow did get married,
Yeah.
and I think Hudson did marry his secretary. Short time, but it's just it. That's what happened in those days.
Right.
That's how it was.
Yeah. All right. I don't really understand the next one, so you'll have to.
Is this the one about the GoFundMe?
No, the avatars.
The avatars.
Tom wants to know, do you have avatars when masturbate?
No, that's not right.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure what
I
you.
don't even know. I don't think. Did I send that to you?
No, those were on there when I signed in to put Timothy's stuff in there. So I left them.
I don't know what that one is.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll
Okay.
do the next one though.
Okay.
I want to know how you feel about GoFundMe's accounts for dead celebrities' families.
Okay. So,
And I do it because it was James Vander
James Van Der
what's
Beek, yeah.
James Van Der Beek and Eric Dane. Both of them have both have had their a GoFundMe for the family, the remaining families.
Right. So I think it to me it depends on the level of financial success that they had and what they left behind. Because
Right.
if it's
I get
somebody that has, several million dollars left behind or whatever, then I
they
think
both one
snappy.
has 5 and one has $7 million left
No,
over.
I mean like before the GoFundMes.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So with James Vanderbeek, I know he struggled and he really worked his ass off the last few like year of his life to try to accumulate enough money for his family to
Which
like
he and
survive,
he
like buy a farm for them
yeah,
and
he got the ranch and
right.
he still according to the internet, he still had $7 million.
Okay, then I think that's ridiculous. Now I do know that there's times when fans or scammers will set up GoFundMe accounts for
Okay,
things
that's
like
not,
that
well, I
to
think we
try
would have
to.
heard if that's what these were at this with the monetary amount that they've collected. I think we would have heard if these were scammers. And
Yeah.
Eric Dane had 5 million, and they both of them have multi-million-dollar GoFundMes going on right now.
Yeah, so I think that's.
I mean, I agree with you. If it was, all of a sudden they go, oh, this is, this person, they died, they've got the kids and the wife, and they had used, a lot of money trying to save them, so they don't have, they have,
Right.
$20,000 to their name.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a GoFundMe. I can see that.
Totally okay with that.
But,
But yeah, when they have millions of dollars and then they're doing the GoFundMes and stuff, I can't get behind that.
I mean, I think it's kind of, the fandom is kind of like fandom is thanking them for their service.
Yeah, I
But
can see that,
also,
but
it's also like handing money over to people who are rich.
right, exactly. They have $5 million if they're somewhat careful, they're good. They got now generational wealth,
Right.
so they're good. What to me is take that money that you would give to them and give it to a charity or something that they might approve of. Put it to good use. Don't just make rich people richer.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
anyway.
yeah, it's like, oh well, they only have $80 million. What about the family? Okay. They, you know
Yeah.
what, they need to tone down their lifestyle, I think is probably the best way to put it.
Right, because literally you can give somebody as Nephi and I have discussed before, a buttload of money, a shit ton of money, which is apparently $2 million after taxes, and that can ride somebody that spends $100,000 a year right on into the end of their life with no problems whatsoever and still have money to leave to somebody. So, yeah, just ridiculous. Anyway, all right, Timothy. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, what does he want to know? Wants to know, do you have any trauma that has a funny story attached? It has to be funny. And yes, I have many of them, but I don't know if I could tell you one off the top of my head. I could tell you about my grandmother, stories about her, about how she would take way too much medication because she was a prescription drug addict, and she would fall asleep and in the middle of the living room where she always had to have her bed. And she also had neuropathy, and so her hands and stuff would flick, and she would smoke, chain smoke while falling asleep, and then her hands would jump and send cigarettes flying across the room. And sometimes they would hit one of the dogs, and you just hear this. So, that was very traumatic, but to me, a little amusing. I could tell you lots of stories about how she went off her
That's
rocker and chased me up the stairs with a steak knife.
so that's that doesn't okay.
Yeah,
This is
see, it's all like when it's.
it's
When
not
it's trauma,
funny.
it can be amusing to someone who lived through it, but to somebody else, it would probably be kind of horrific to hear. So I don't know. Off the top of my head,
Well, those are horrific.
yeah. So off the top of my head, I couldn't probably tell you that.
Okay, the first thing that comes to my mind as being horrific for me
Okay.
was it was the day before I was going to start high school.
Okay.
I guess that would be the day after it was Labor Day. No, Memorial Day. Labor Day. Labor Day. It was Labor Day because we always in those days we started the day after Labor Day. I accidentally handcuffed myself. And with no key.
Oh,
The day
no.
be, and my parents are going, "You're going to school. I don't care if you have a handcuff on." I mean, can you imagine? First day of high school, a brand new school, and you're the kid with a handcuff.
See, that's a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, at sometime in the middle of the night, it fell off. I only had it on one hand.
Okay, yeah.
And
That's very
somehow
important.
during the night it fell off. I don't know how it happened.
Huh.
We were trying to
Interesting.
butter my hand to get
Stretched out, yeah.
my dad's suggesting removing the thumb, that would help. And it's it was not fun. 'Cause I was already, fat kid going to high school.
Right.
And I had already heard, "Oh yeah, they'll put your pants up the flagpole." All the fathers in the neighborhood thought it was really funny telling me horrific stories about what happens on the first day of high school.
Oh,
Fuckers.
yeah. So yeah, I'm sure that given time, I could come up with one, but that's a good one. I like that. All right. Hey, Chips, Timothy wants to know, what do you think labels help? Oh, okay. Wants to know, do you think labels help people feel seen, or are they starting to feel limiting again?
It's I think it depends. It's subjective to the situation. I know that when all of a sudden in the 90s there was this thing called Bears, completely changed my life.
Yeah. It's true.
But I mean, there's some labels. I mean, class-wise, labels aren't as much fun,
No.
which we've actually I've used today, trying to, with the whole whether or not you go on a game show, you go on there not because if you're not on there to for money, then what are you doing on the show?
Yeah.
And it's usually a class thing. Usually people, so that, because nobody likes to be the poor person or the one who's like, God, can you imagine? Well, actually you can. The last, let's say the last 3 or 4 months where they're talking about ending benefits and making it sound like anybody that gets those benefits are horrible, horrible people. I was really shocked at the attitude of that. That really bothered me. It's like, stop pointing fingers at who deserves it and who doesn't. And will you stop talking about some mythical kid who lives in his mother's basement as middle America? It was weird, but yeah, I think that sometimes labels work, and sometimes they're as horrific as your grandmother chasing you with a butcher knife.
Well, it was a steak knife, but still, yeah.
It was serrated.
Yes. So, I'm gonna apply the labels as if we're labeling ourselves, like, all the things. Like, I can say, yes, I'm gay. I have ADHD. I can apply all these labels and sub-labels and fetishes and all this stuff. I can label my ass off, girl. I think when you can do that to yourself and you can find labels that fit you, I think it can help you understand yourself. But yes, it starts feeling limiting to whereas when you say all that and somebody else to someone else, then they start categorizing you, and that type of labeling is bad because it leaves for no growth. You can feel seen and you can feel unseen in the same label. I don't know if that explained a damn thing, but that's what I'm thinking. All right, hey Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, do you think nostalgia reboots are comforting or creatively lazy?
If they work, that's fine. Like for instance, I couldn't. I had such trouble figuring out in 1973. I think it was 73, 72, 73. I'm at a dance, and we're having a sock hop, and it's like because all of a sudden there's this. Everybody wants it to be the early 60s again, the innocent 60s, before all those hippies showed up and ruined they've ruined it for everybody. Yeah, Why are we getting nostalgic over something that's barely a decade old?
Don't know, but I miss the 80s sometimes. Culturally,
Well,
only
yeah, but that was
culturally.
40 years ago.
As far as I thought this was myself, I thought this was talking about like TV or something.
Our movies or
Yeah.
music, yeah.
And I think it can be, if it's done well, it can be very comforting. Like I still go back to the one day at a time reboot. So good. But now if you're talking less reboots and more, what's the term? When they are just
Remakes?
pulling, so maybe reboots are like you're talking about, like the and just like that, to where it's a continuation of Sex and the City, where you get to go back and revisit these characters later. I think those can be very comforting. As far as creatively lazy, no, as long as they're doing good scripts and they're good solid stories, I don't think that's lazy at all. I think that, it
Well,
would be
it's
as much as starting a new one, but you start with characters and stuff that you already
right.
love.
It was like when the Carpenters were touring, they need because in those days you had an album a year, or don't even bother. Elton
Yeah.
John was pumping out 2 and 3 albums a year at one point,
Crazy.
which was insane. But what happened was the Carpenters were touring. They had their I can't remember what name Now and Then album, I think it was. Yeah, Now and Then. And what happened was they had one side of an album ready, but they didn't have anything else. And so and they were getting pressured to do something, you've got to have an album. So they had written Yesterday Once More, and then they decided to do all those songs from the 60s. The Dead Man's Curve and The End of the World and all the schmaltzy stuff from that time period. And it was a huge hit. But it was because they, well, theirs was more timing than laziness, but I mean, they kind of took a bad situation and made it huge, huge in a good way. So I think it's always going to really depend on the situation, because you're right. The One Day at a Time thing was a familiar storyline with new character, well, with characters that were different from the originals, and that's cool. I have no problem with. I love a decent anything as long as it's good. What I hate is just. It's actually lazy fucking productions that think that just, where you're going, well, this is perfect. The Godfathers were so popular. If we bring out the, if we remake The Godfathers, people are going to go, oh, it's The Godfather. It's going to be good. We don't even have to try. Well, no, you really do.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
you
just
can't.
start. I actually, it's funny because The Godfather was on one of those free channels not long ago, and like last week, I think. And I started to watch it, and like the first 20 minutes is all just the party.
Oh, I hated the Godfather movies. I did. First of all, I don't like gangsters. That's why I didn't like Sopranos and Goodfellas. I don't like, it's for me, it's really hard for me to rectify following characters who are bad. They're bad. I don't I'm not a big fan of, I don't go, oh, I go to the Star Wars movies because Darth Vader is so cool. No. No, if I don't have a hero, then I'm probably going to be in, not interested. And those movies just don't have heroes. They're all the bad guys. You're rooting for the bad guy to win, and they're killing good guys. It just doesn't make any sense to me. That's why I don't like gangsters. So, don't know what to tell you.
I remember the Love Boat.
I mean, Love Boat was it was the ground where new stars, like very, very new stars, come on to get film credits. Our very old stars go on to try to appear to be important again.
Well, and to get those credits that they need for the Actors Union, I'm sure too. But
But more.
I remember it as a kid. I think my grandmother loved the show, and I remember watching it in reruns, probably in my late teens or something like that. And I mean, it was fun. I got to know all sorts of stars that I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. And know who they are, like remember the Lander sisters and stuff like that, which I'm sure probably if you talk to anybody in the younger generations right now, they probably had no clue who they were.
I mean, they were barely,
Popular.
at that point. So,
So, anyway, so I have a fondness for the Love Boat, but it's not a fondness that would make me want to go back and like watch it again, really.
Yeah, well, and it was that genre of television. How do you put it? Was because you had Love Boat, you had Love American Style, you had because it was episodic, but it was almost anthology kind of thing. I mean, they had the same. The reason I'm having trouble explaining it is because it's not like MASH where, you have one new person come on and then it's all about the main members again, or Golden Girls where, Stan shows up. This is you have your main cast and then you have three storylines going on. I think, wasn't it three every
I
episode?
think so, yeah.
Yeah, so and it's like, the doctor's got a storyline, then the bartender's got a storyline, and everyone else is working the other storyline. And to me, those, because they would have like 6 to 8 guest stars a week, depending on, and it was going to be like Mickey Rooney and you look at the cast and you go, oh my God, what is going on? Chara was on there all the time.
I know.
And it
I
was
love her.
but it was they were innocent for the most part, and I think a lot of people look at them like they look at Murder, She Wrote, because that was another one. Columbo. Well, Columbo only had one person each week, that was the killer, but they had a whole new cast because he's out trying to find who the killer is. But these were different. Fantasy Island did the same thing. It was that. I don't know what would you call that as a genre, but it was episodic TV with tons of guests.
Yeah, guest star of the week. Well,
And
that's
it
what.
wasn't even guest star. It was guest stars. I mean, like I said, you could have 6 to 8 different, like I remember one, they had old ladies, and they had Ethel Merman. They had the one that was the big tap dancer. I think they had the woman who was the swimmer. I think they had like four of them on, and they were all hitting on the captain, and that was the storyline. They're all on a vacation together and they're all out to have a good time, but everybody wants the captain, or they all want the doctor, something like that. But though they were fun, they got a I bet they were easy to write too.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, just they were the comedy Barbara Cartland. They were just knocking stuff out. The Harlequins. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into what's in your lunchbox. And Mr. Moose wrote in and said, hubby wanted to go to a country cooking restaurant. Normally, they'd have barbecue pork and that I like, but today they were out. I left hubby to eat there. I walked down to the barbecue restaurant in the same complex, and they were closed for construction. This is like one of those traumatic funny stories. There was a fast taco burrito restaurant. Stopped in there, got a chicken burrito, rice, black beans, grilled chicken, and guacamole. It was really good.
It looks good.
It looks amazing. I could go for some of that. Hey, chicken lo mein for hubby's lunch. I'm watching carbs, but it sure looked good.
It sure looks good. I love lo mein.
Hubby loves pineapple, so I made him a pineapple cake. Ooh. Three layers with pineapple juice. In the middle layers, there is a pineapple custard, buttercream icing on top with more pineapple custard. That is very interesting. Very,
Yes,
very
please.
interesting. I hadn't thought about that with the using the pineapple juice instead of like a liquid,
Oh,
but
you really? That's one thing that's the whole thing is they say you get the can of the rings, and then you drain the, you drain the juice, but you save it and you use that instead of your water or milk that you may add to a recipe.
That's really interesting. I mean, the thing is like I could totally, see that with other stuff, but I didn't think about it with pineapple for some reason. Because I'm gonna make a pineapple upside down cake, so
Well, and you can also get the crushed pineapple and mix that into your into the cake as well as into the because if you're not doing the upside down, you don't need the rings. You can get the crushed, and then you put the liquid in the cake. You can put the actual pineapple into the frosting and the cake. What am I saying? It makes it really moist.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Cut hubby a small pe a slice of cake. He said it was good. I didn't try it. Don't like pineapple.
What?
How? And you're making all these pineapple cakes and you don't like pineapple.
Uh-oh.
Still in the oven, cheesecake, graham cracker crust instead of a sponge cake crust. It's just easier. Baked this for a neighbor. I want to be your neighbor.
I know, I could have been the house across the
Yeah.
street, the doctor's house, and
Yeah. Turkey wrap for lunch. Won't order this again. Not much turkey on it. Rosemary aioli was a nice touch. Sharp hoop cheese was a bit overpowering. Couple of slices of bacon in there. Oh, that wrap is just looks gorgeous.
And those fries look gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's what caught my eye.
It's funny. Now that we're doing brunches, Mr. Lurie Dean came over and cooked some amazing food. But one of the things he brought over was some plain yogurt, and then he bought a can of cherries, like the dark sweet cherries. And he mixed that in with an immersion blender. And then, so we had like fresh cherry yogurt, and he had some little of the cherries on top. Oh my God, it was so good. But one can of those cherries is like over $7 now. And going to Winco, where things, I shop at Winco because things are le much less expensive there usually than the other stores. Those, the little fun size bags of candy bars that you take home, or the M&M size fun bags, they're all over $7 now. They're like $7.12 there. If you go to CVS, they're over $8.
Tariffs.
Yep, but just ridiculous. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Moose. Really appreciate that. And now you've made me hungry. I have two photos here that I'm going to talk about real quick that I'm throwing in here. The first is from our very first brunch. We have some bacon. We have a nice egg omelet with cheese that Mr. Lurie Dean made, and some biscuits that I made. They come from a can.
Yeah,
So,
we can tell.
yeah. And they were actually, it was all so good. So really good. Loved it. Then there was this beautiful sandwich that a dear friend dropped off, which was quite a surprise last Monday. And I really don't know much about it other than it was really good, and I was surprised to bite into jalapeno, but did not mind it. Maybe you can tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, it's called a banh mi sandwich, which is Vietnamese, and it comes with there's it's weird because you this was the grilled pork, and normally they come with a protein, and then it comes with all fresh ingredients, carrots. There's I think it's like a cabbage. There's cucumber. There is cilantro and there is jalapeno. There may be something else. I'm not sure. And then there's like a some sort of a aioli or something on it, and it's on a lovely roll, like a hoagie roll. But the roll is by far the best part of the sandwich.
It really is.
And they make their own bread in-house. So, and what I usually do is I usually take out the jalapeno, the cilantro, and the cucumbers, and just have the vegetables with the pork. And then I usually give it a little slosh of mayonnaise just to give it a little more condiment-y. And then I throw it in the microwave for 30 seconds just to warm it up and devour it. And what's amazing is it's probably a 9-10 inch sandwich, right? $6.
See, that's just phenomenal. And I ate it like I didn't take anything off of it. I didn't add anything to it. I just ate it as is. And I was totally fine with it. It's very, I mean, it's of course very Asian flavored. It was almost like like an egg roll or a spring roll that they made into a sandwich.
Okay,
I
yeah.
was totally into it. But again, like you said, that roll is the best, I think, sandwich bread I have ever had.
Yeah, I don't get how they do it, but they do it good.
So I was very appreciative. Thank you again for that. And I love a surprise, a good surprise. Okay, so what's in your lunchbox? You can go check out the photos of over there at facebook.com/chubsgonewild. And of course, you can email us what's in your lunchbox or questions for Chubs or anything else for the show at chubsgonewild@gmail.com. And of course, you can find my other projects over at justkisstheguy.com. And if you happen to be viewing us on YouTube,
Well, you should definitely subscribe, obviously, and like, and if you are watching us, just let us know it's you. You know that you've stopped by. All you have to do is go, "Hey, this is so and so, love the show," or just say, "This is you." You don't have to say you love the show unless you really mean it. But yes, let us know so we can. Matt's building up his YouTube account.
Yes, I can't wait to get one of those plaques. Right now we're basically at a plastic spork.
No, that's not the only. We're at the plastic spork from Toy Story 3. That's what.
There you go.
Not even a real fork, spork at this
I
point.
feel warm and happy when I'm in the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thanks for tuning in. We love
Okay, don't
you.
forget, next week starts Kathy Bacon Month.
Oh, that's true.
Just
Better get
saying.
your voicemails and requests in. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
This has been a For Fuck's Sake production.